And that brings us to what we're talking about this morning. We could call it, if we had but one opportunity to teach someone or to preach a sermon, what would we teach folks? Or we might call it what everyone needs to know about heaven and hell. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment, we're going to die. And we're going to stand before God in judgment. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says that the dust shall return to the earth from where it came, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. It is inevitable that one day will be our last day here on this earth. Sometimes I like to tell folks there are certain questions that every one of us ought to be asking, and perhaps ask ourselves these questions quite often. And let's begin with the first one. Because most of the world has not the foggiest as to the correct answer to this question. And that is, where did I come from? 96% of the people in Southeast Asia are Buddhist. And they have no concept as to the origin of humanity. And yet you and I know that we can open up our Bible to the very first verse, and it tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has always been. God created this world. God created humanity. In Genesis 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But I like this passage of Scripture in verse 26, where the God family, including Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, say, let us make man in our own image. Now, I know many of us have animals that we love. Some people treat their pet dog better than, well, we won't say. In my last younger years of my life, I told Kathy, I want farm animals one more time. In 50 years, 52 years of marriage, over 50 years of preaching, about every 10 years, we'd end up in a rural area. So I'd bring the country life back into reality and had to get some farm animals. Well, it had been 17 years since we had farm animals, and so I said, please, one more time. So when we were in the Philippines in March, she said, you know, we need to renew our passports. And she said, I'm not going to do it. She said, I'm not going to renew my passport. I said, I understand. You paid your price. And it's probably good that she made her mind up not to do that, because it wasn't a month later that she had a stroke here in the States. And we had to airlift her to Vanderbilt. And there was a period of time she couldn't say a single word. Now, you don't have to ask her if she's doing better, because she'll talk to you today, so you know she's doing better. So I told her, I said, when we married, the two of us became one. You're not traveling overseas. You're part of me. Can I have some farm animals now? So now we have 11 calves. A week ago, we had 2 pigs. Now figure this one. This morning, we have 17. Almost as bad as rabbits. Yes, and we have 4 of them. We have hens. We gather our own eggs each day. We've got a little billy goat. Okay? So we got some farm life. And we've been blessed to move next door to a family that has a little 11-year-old girl named Ella. And Ella is our farm hand. When I'm out of pocket, Ella's slopping the hogs. And so into that part of our life once again. But you know, as wonderful as those animals are, and your animal is, you've got something on them. They were not created. in the image of God. You have both flesh and you have spirit. And God is spirit. And God came to this earth in the flesh. John 1 and verse 14. So most of the world does not understand where they came from. Had the opportunity to make 3 trips into Russia. And on one occasion, this lady was the principal of an all-girls school. And these girls had been kicked out of the public school system because of their behavior. And so I met with her in her office, and she said, "I want you to speak to our girls, and I want you to explain to them why their bodies are significant and why they should live a moral life." And this lady was an atheist. When I walked into the classroom, the first thing I noticed was a cabinet with glass windows on it and replicas of prehistoric man. You see, the very problem was that these girls had grown up believing that they came from a monkey, that they came from a less complex kind of life. So in the presentation, they came to understand for the first time in their life that they had been created in the image of God. And God does not create trash. After the presentation, the principal invited me into her office. And I asked her, I said, "Is there anything that we can do for you folks in this school?" And she said, "Yes, there is. If you will provide us one Bible, we will put this into the library. And every day the students will be required to come by and to read from the Bible." I said, "Ma'am, we can do better than that." We had shipped many Bibles into Moscow. And within 24 hours' time, we had enough Bible for every student and every faculty member in that school. She was excited. And then she asked, "Is there anything we can do for you?" I said, "Ma'am, the Church of Christ is brand new in your city. And they do not have a place to meet for worship." She said, "That's taken care of. You can meet right here in this school anytime that you want to." We're created in the image of God, and the world needs to understand that. That brings us to question number 2. And that is, why are we here? There are about 7.7 billion people in this world, and most have no idea of their purpose here on earth. Now, Solomon's referred to as the wise man. And it wasn't always easy for Solomon to understand his purpose here on earth. As one country preacher said, "Why, Solomon had 300 wives and 700 concubines." By the way, you see, folks, concubines what you harvest with. A concubine is a woman you're not married to, but you're responsible for her needs. But God inspired Solomon as he matured spiritually in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 to say that, "I've come to the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments." As one translation says, "For this is the whole of man." Fear God. Stand in awe of an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, merciful, full of grace, loving, creator, sustainer, provider of salvation through His divine Son, Jesus Christ, and through His will. Thirdly, and this is the one that's so appalling, as you realize that there are men and women who are standing before gatherings of people today and making people feel secure when, according to the Bible, there is no security in what they have done or failed to do in answer to this question. And that is, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Now, certainly the Bible many times says that we must believe that Jesus is God's Son, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you will search in vain to find a single scripture that says that we're saved by faith only. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith honor roll, chapter of the Bible, where people are justified by faith and saved by faith, you'll see within the context that there were acts of obedience that were also necessary. I mentioned to you going into a place in Burma for the first time in November this last year. And there were some young men who had ridden their motorcycles an hour and a half to come to attend this Bible school, sit in class all day long, get back on the motorcycle, drive back home, come back the next day, and repeat that. One day I mentioned Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I asked the question, were these people saved before they were baptized or after they were baptized? And in unison, these young men who were visiting, not members of the Church of Christ, said, before. They were saved before they were baptized. So I walked to the board. First of all, I said to them, thank you for your honesty. I said, I want us to notice a couple of mathematical equations. Let's see if here in Asia they teach the same thing mathematically that they teach us in America. So I simply wrote 2 plus 2 equals 4. I said, is that what you all understand? They said, mm-hmm. I said, let's do away with the first two. Does the equation still equal 4? They said, no. Let's keep the first two and do away with the second two. Does that equal 4? They said, no. I said, let's change it around this way. 2 equals 4 plus 2. Is that the same as 2 plus 2 equals 4? By that time, they thought I was a complete idiot and that I needed to leave my mathematics skills back in America. I said, let's read Mark 16:16. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. B, believe, plus B, baptism, equals S, salvation. And then I asked, is this what the scripture teaches? They all said yes. I said, let's do away with the first B. Don't have to believe in Jesus. Just be baptized. Will you then be saved according to the Bible? And they all shook their head no. I said, no. In fact, I was in Nepal and studied several days with some men, and three were ready to confess their faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. We got a taxi, and he drove us an hour to the river. And when we got there, they confessed Christ, were immersed for remission of sins, and the Hindu taxi driver came to me and said, will you do that to me? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He dropped his hand because he had no idea who Jesus Christ was. Would he have been forgiven of his sins had I dunked him in the water? Of course not. We're dunked in the water when we go swimming. It doesn't save us. Sometimes it drowns us. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Let's keep the first B and do away with the second B. Is a person saved just by believing in Christ, according to Mark 16:16? And the answer is, of course not. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, here's what's being taught throughout this city, throughout Dartmouth County, the state of Georgia, U.S., and throughout this world today. He that believeth is saved. Plus, he can be baptized to join some man-made religion that you don't even read in the pages of the Bible. Every time I come and I see Jack and Billy, I'm reminded of where they came from and how that when Billy was taught the gospel of Christ and she obeyed it, Jack was off at work serving Uncle Sam. He wasn't too excited about what she had done. So he came with her to raid him the next Sunday with his big Bible down front. And I mean, he was looking up the scripture. I mean, he was ready to really prove me wrong. And when he came out the door that morning, he's a big guy. I didn't know if he was going to take me down or what. But we got together and we did some Bible studies. And I remember when we got to these scriptures, Jack said, "Well, that's what I've been taught in the bee religion." I said, "Well, is the one who taught you still alive?" He said, "Yes, he is." So he called, not us to Georgia. And the man wasn't at home. And so I said, "Is there someone else teaches the same thing?" "Oh, yes, right here in Albany. The man comes and holds our revival every day, every year down in Valdosta. Teaches the same thing." So we called him. And I said, "Sir, my name is Daniel Hamm. I need to ask you a question. Is it true that you teach that a person must be baptized when he's saved?" He said, "Absolutely not. Who told you that?" Well, then he asked what religion I was a member of, and he said, "That's what I thought." When Jack came back in the room where I was, he said, "I've been misled all my life." And he was ready to become a New Testament Christian. The world needs to know, what must I do to be saved? And you and I, as members of the body of Christ, we know the answer to that question. But are we sharing it with others? Many of your family members don't know. Your closest of friends probably don't know. People that you work with may not know. Next door neighbor. Across the street. Across the county. Across the state. Across the country. Across the world. But not only do we need to know to hear the gospel, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess Christ, and be baptized for remission of sins. But Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." We must be faithful Christians, faithful members of the church that was purchased by the blood of Christ if we expect to go to heaven. And where am I going? Matthew 25:46, "They shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." There is eternal life from everlasting to everlasting, in a place of punishment or in a place called heaven. And the choice is ours. No, we were not born into sin. We were not born predestined to go to heaven. Nothing we could do to avoid it. Or to go to hell, and nothing we could do to change that direction. We were born in the image of God, free moral agents, with a decision-making mechanism, with the responsibility of making the choice for ourselves. What about heaven, and who is going there? We all know John 14:1-3, where Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, the Father, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," he said, "I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Notice he said, to you who are troubled, and we all have troublesome times in our lives. 23 years ago, I was going in for a simple umbilical hernia repair. And when they checked my blood, the doctor came in and told me a little joke. I already had the don't care shot. And he said, "We found leukemia. You got leukemia." And when you hear the C word or the L word, you just think that's the end of it. I said, "Doc, how long do I have to live?" He said, "Well, some of my patients have lived 5 years. Some have lived 30 years. I said, "Doc, I'll take the 30. And so this month will be 24 years since I was diagnosed with leukemia. Went through that terrible chemotherapy back in 2012. Now I'm in remission. And one time I told my doctor, I've made my last trip overseas. He says, I get your report. No, you haven't. Now, with my own God just speaking, I had to do what he said. It wasn't long after that I was able to go over again. You see, Jesus is the answer to our troubles. If we'll believe in God, most of the world doesn't. If we'll believe that Jesus is divine, the Son of God, most of the world does not. If we understand that Jesus has gone to prepare a prepared place for prepared people, and I ask, are you prepared? And we are. With God on our side, we can deal with any situation in life. And remember that Jesus is coming again. Heaven is a wonderful place. In fact, the Bible talks about it in Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Many people don't believe in heaven at all. Some people believe everybody who dies is going to heaven. And certainly all the good people will be there. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In Revelation 14:13, John the Revelator said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There is happiness. There is joy on the part of those who believe in God, and that Jesus is the Son of God, and fearing God to the best of their ability, keep His commandments. But only those who are obedient to the gospel of Christ. And one of the comforting scriptures that I like to share with others who are challenged in life with physical things that are happening to them is again in the book of Revelation, chapter 21:4, when it says, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor tears, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There is a wonderful place called heaven that we can look forward to, but we must prepare. And I want to close with just the thought. Reality says also there's a place called hell. In the end of the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:13-14. We can follow the broad way that leads to hell, or we can discipline ourselves and follow that path that leads to eternal life in heaven. And it's all up to us. Have you ever contemplated how long eternity is? Being the agriculture farming guy that I am, I think about things like the little ant and its capabilities. An ant can travel at the rate of about 1/17 of a mile per hour. About the rate that I travel these days when I'm on foot. This world is 25,000 miles in circumference. And for 17 years, Kathy and I have averaged about 3 times a year going that equivalent distance around the world to share the gospel with others. Not one time around the globe, but let that ant go enough times around the globe until finally the earth is divided into two, and eternity has not even begun. So we may not understand eternity, but we can understand that death is certain. We can understand that eternity is long. We need to understand that heaven is beautiful, and we need to understand that hell is ugly. And God has a plan of salvation. And we can understand it. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he said, be faithful to death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And we're told that as Christians, when we sin, confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, and we can be spiritually healed. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation today, will you? As together we stand and sing.